A trade fight with China gets kicked up a notch.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. A Chinese official has ratcheted up the rhetoric in a dispute with the U.S. Steelworkers Union. The union filed a complaint last month saying Beijing's subsidies for manufacturers of green energy products are a violation of international trade rules. A top Chinese official said yesterday that the U.S. cannot win this trade fight. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer has more.
The union says Beijing discriminates against U.S. clean energy companies that want to sell products in China and gives illegal subsidies to Chinese companies that make wind turbines and solar panels. Wayne Rannick is a union spokesman. He says the subsidies allow the Chinese companies to cut prices for green technology.
They've just seized market share from the U.S. in Europe's wind and solar markets by driving down world prices.
The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative now has 3 months to decide whether to bring a case against Beijing with the World Trade Organization. Erin Ennis is vice president of the U.S.-China Business Council. She says China respects the WTO's decisions.
Where rulings have come down against them, China has a pretty good track record of actually implementing those rulings.
Ennis isn't surprised that a union initiated this case. A steelworkers' complaint last year led to U.S. tariffs on imports of Chinese tires. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Investors will be watching Apple today. It reports its third quarter earnings. Now, as we all know, the company's had big success with its iPad tablet, the latest generation iPhones, and everything else. So Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, our correspondent, joins us live with a preview of today's earnings. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, so first the good news, Mitchell. Tell us, Apple is expected to have done pretty well in the latest quarter. How well?
Well, analysts polled by Thomson First Call are predicting earnings of just above $4 a share. The stock's already up about 40% this year. You know, it's hard to find a product category that isn't doing well for Apple right now. iPads, iPhones, iPods, that's the iPod Touch, Mac computers, they're all flying off the shelves in the U.S. and abroad. Now, Apple isn't alone among tech companies with rising sales and a really strong balance sheet, but Carl Howe, who's a technology market analyst at the Yankee Group in Boston, he told me that Apple is really different at this point from the competition.
I think you have to treat Apple as a special case. It's not just another tech company. For one thing, it's a retailer. They have well over 300 stores worldwide now, and they sell as much electronic fashion as they do what we would traditionally call technology.
All right, Mitchell, the same old story. Apple's such a great company. Is there anything rotten about this Apple?
Well, maybe one thing. They apparently can't get enough iPhone 4s and iPads out to customers. The iPad's going to be sold at Walmart soon. There could be an iPhone for Verizon finally. Demand is huge, but meeting that demand is actually proving a challenge for them.
All right. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And let's check global markets. Asian stocks are lower. Hong Kong's index closed down more than 1%. In Europe, stocks are also down, but just barely. The Dow lost a bit of ground on Friday. It'll start today at 11,062 when markets open in New York.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. Coverage of the economy is supported in part by the Schuman Center for Media and Democracy.
We're going to check back in now with someone we've been following since the early days of the Great Recession, Christopher Maraldi, who lost his job as a banker on Wall Street in 2008.
What did they tell you?
Basically that, you know, the bank, there were losses and that my job was being eliminated. I asked twice if it was performance related and they said no.
After 20 years working in finance, Maraldi decided to give other things a try. He spent some time teaching English overseas and he even did some work for the Census Bureau, all the while sending out resumes to financial companies and not hearing much back. Until now.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
Come on
good
in.
To see you.
Come on in.
I stopped by his New York apartment last week, and he told me that after 2.5 years of unemployment, he's just taken a job at a bank in Singapore.
Singapore is a smaller market, and right now the opportunities in New York are just not there. It's hard to get back in. But when I had interviewed with them, it was all done by phone. And it was very, I have to say, it reminded me of the way things used to be in banking, just very much focused on the market. And what I liked about them is they told me the difficulties of the job. And I thought that was really honest because, you know, I said I could trust these people. At least they're reasonable.
Almost every time I've spoken with you, you've said basically that Wall Street has not learned the lessons of the financial crisis in 2008. 2 years later, have they learned their lessons?
No. Absolutely not, no. Nothing has changed other than the fact that the market is not there. If they could continue to sell assets that were, as I'll quote Lloyd Blankfein, where there's appetite for these assets, the appetite has stopped. That's why they don't produce them. But they were the ones that marketed these assets.
You've been in finance for how many years now altogether?
I started in 1987, right, as the first... Well, in my lifetime, it was the first crash in 87.
So more than 20 years.
Yes.
What advice would you have for somebody who's getting into finance this year, the recent college grads that are getting out of school and going right to the big firms on Wall Street?
If follow your heart. If you're really good in other, well, it's probably too late for them because they've already got a degree in finance. But if you're only doing it for the money, that's not all there is.
All right, well, Chris Maraldi, thanks so much, and good luck in Singapore.
Thank you.
And you can check out our previous interviews with Chris Maraldi at marketplace.org. Finally, from Germany, an idea that women who wear heels will enjoy. An entrepreneur in Berlin is putting vending machines in nightclubs that sell disposable shoes. The idea is that after a night of dancing in uncomfortable heels, you can just buy a pair of disposable flats for $10. So you're comfortable when you hit the after party or when you take the long walk home. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
American Public Media.
Here's a choice: climate change versus high unemployment, a green tech future versus fossil fuels, new jobs versus old.
Don't create green jobs at the expense of already existing manufacturing jobs in the state.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Jobs or a greener world? You choose. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.